book of Hebrews, chapter 12 today. Hebrews, chapter 12. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we open our hearts and minds now to you and to listen to your holy word. We pray that you will remove every distraction and help us to focus on the word and what you would have us to hear today. We pray a blessing upon each one gathered, and we pray especially, God, for those who could not be here today, that you will bring healing to the sick and comfort to those who are in sorrow. Again, God, we ask that you would help us to focus on your word and speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read our scripture text from several versions of the Bible. The King James, Today's English Version, NIV, the Living Bible, and the New English Bible, even the Revised Version. So listen very carefully. This is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Our sermon topic today is The Race is On. The race is on. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Reading now from today's English version, same text. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. Let us rid ourselves, then, of everything that gets in the way, and the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, whom our faith depends from beginning to end. I want to read from the Living Bible. Same scripture. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around us and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. Let me read from the New International Version. Many of you have that. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with patience the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I want to read from the New English Bible. And what of ourselves? With all these witnesses of faith around us, like a cloud, we must throw off every encumbrance, every sin to which we cling, and run with resolution the race for which we are entered. Our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom faith depends from start to end. Jesus, who for the sake of the joy that lay ahead of him, endured the cross, making light of its disgrace, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. May I say to you this morning that the race is on. The starting pistol have been fired. And everyone who have accepted Jesus Christ this morning, everyone who claims salvation and eternal life, you are in the race. From the day you accepted Christ until your day of death, or if you live when Christ returns. The race is on. The New Testament is full of metaphors. And Jesus himself, in the four Gospels, frequently uses metaphors, such as the parable of the wheat and the seeds, and many others. Here in our text, the writer, whom many Bible scholars believe was Paul, the writer tells us and makes it very clear by using athletic metaphors. Paul uses that a lot. He uses athletic and military metaphors a lot in his writing. Now, this would make good sense, especially in those areas where they were accustomed to the big games at that time and with military activity, places like Rome and Greece and Alexandria on the north coast of Africa, and even in Jerusalem where the Roman soldiers were in charge at this time. This would make sense to use metaphors or analogies like this. So the author calls us to a great race. I hope you get this message. This great race takes place in a stadium, a coliseum, filled with Old Testament saints sitting all around us. This is not just a coliseum filled with spectators, like the Dodger game, oh Lord. That's why I don't like sports. I don't fool with sports. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. That's my attitude. Now you can have yours. They build you up on a cloud, and the next day they drop you like a hot potato. I can't handle it. I get too emotionally involved. So, you know, go ahead and be what fan you want to be. The other day they're tearing things up in Houston to come back out. Yeah, well, that's another show. So we're not just in a coliseum with spectators, but we are in a coliseum with the great saints of old, men and women, who have already run the race. They have already run the race, and they have finished. They're finished running the race. And now God, the Holy Spirit, through the writer of this great text, is challenging you and me to also run our race with patience. Notice, first of all, that this is a spiritual race. Write that down somewhere. This is a spiritual race we're talking about, Leonard. And the pistol have been fired already. You and I are in the race. We have to determine in ourselves whether we are going to endure or allow anything or anybody to stop us from running this race or to discourage us from running this race. I hope that your mind is made up to endure. The scripture said, as Jesus did. This is a spiritual race. Now, the last four chapters of the book of Hebrews, the author encourages us to endure over and over. He encourages us in this scripture and other scriptures in the New Testament. Encourages us to endure, to hold on, to keep running the race. Don't turn back. Don't let anything discourage you. Don't let anything or anyone cause you. I said I was not going to say anything about it because I told it to y'all many times. That's all right. I have my senior moments. Y'all know that. And I've been in the show a long time, so I don't care if you My buddy, what's her name? I can't remember. I can't remember her name, but she said, Brother Garvey always have his stories. But I remember, Leonard, when I received the gift, a big crate of soda used to be in the bottle then and had 24 in the crate, the wooden crate. Nobody go back that far. Anybody in here go back that far with me? James, hey, praise God. And Rick. And so I won. We were under the British then. We had pound, shilling, and pence was the money that we used. And so I received a crate of soda and 4 shillings and 6 pence for running that race. It was the 220-yard dash. I came out like lightning and won that race. I was bad with the 220-yard dash. And the line was. And so, Leonard, so I came out and we had a big race coming up with a competition from the next village, 8 Mile Rock, against West End, my hometown. I said, you know, nothing to it. I'm going to win this. It was a mile race, not 220. I had no training at all in the mile race. And so the starting pistol went off. I took off like a lightning. I was way in front. I looked behind. They were way behind me. Everybody, I'm in front. I'm running, boy. I saw a piece of cake. I got down a little ways down the road. My chest started burning, Leonard. And I thought I was going to die. It got worse and worse. It got so badly I had to sit on the side of the road. My brother Sidney passed me by. Next one passed me by. I got so embarrassed. I went through one of the track bush roads and went back home. I didn't even go back to the race. I went home. I had no training. I didn't know. I thought all you had to do was run. I didn't know you had to be trained, that the mile race was different. And there are many who have started off in the spiritual race like this, not considering, or get in the race and then things come up, discouragements and problems and circumstances, and they drop out. And there's a lot of encouragement in the Bible to not drop out this race, but to endure. Hebrews is filled with it. So this is a spiritual race. And the writer uses it like a hinge to show us the examples in chapter 11 in writing this book of those who have already completed the race. And if you read that list, you have to appreciate God, who he is. He loves everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, because in that list you'll see prostitutes and thieves and oh, you'll see a lot of adulterers and who gave their lives to God, repented, like David in Psalm 51, and God forgave them, and they finished the race. And the writer is saying, since they did it, look at all these. He puts us in this Colosseum and says, look at all these. Look at them. There's Abraham. There's Abel. I mean, there's Enoch. Look at them up there. Moses. And they completed the race, even though they had problems in their lives. And so we must prepare for the race. There was a gentleman there from Nassau who worked for the government, and he said, when I won the 220, he said, man, they were getting ready for the Olympics in the city of Dublin, Ireland, back then. He said, man, he said, if I wasn't down here working, I'd take you to Nassau to go in that race for the 220. I would have had to been trained. See, Leonard can tell you about the track and running. But we must prepare for the race. And we have a manual that prepares us. 66 books inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And we have the example of the author and the finisher of our faith, the one by whom we are saved and sanctified. Looking unto Jesus. So we must prepare for the race. No athlete would intentionally run a race with weights on him. I expect you to give me some amen, Leonard, every now and then. Let them know I'm telling the truth up here. No athlete would start a race with heavy weights on him. And so the writer says, let us then, since we are surrounded by all this cloud of witnesses, let us. I love Hebrews. It says, it uses the word we and us. We're all in it together. And if I get tired and run out of water, you ought to come beside me and give me your bottle and let me get a few sips from it. We're in it together. We ought to encourage and help each other. We ought to pray for one another to keep running this race. And when we hear that someone is down or see someone down in their spirits, we ought to try to cheer them up. A serious ministry of the church is intercessory prayer. Amen, Robin? Intercessory prayer. Praying for one another. Not just self, but praying for one another. Serious ministry of the church. And so he says, since we are surrounded with all these witnesses, let us lay aside, put off. I read the different versions. You ought to read some of those versions. Let us cast aside, put off, take off every weight. Every weight. And then he says, and the sin that so easily besets us. See, now I might be weak in an area where you are strong. We're talking real, you know, being real. That's what Buddy said, just for real. Let's be for real. I might be strong in the area where you are weak. You might be strong in an area where I am weak in my life. He said, and especially that sin that can trap you so easily. Gotta be careful. For some it's alcohol, for some it's lust of the flesh, for some it's lying, for some it's backbiting, for some it's stealing. There is a weakness. Everyone have a weakness or have had a weakness. Some of you have overcome, like myself, have overcome a lot of these things. Glory be to God. But it says we must lay aside every weight. And that's the way sin is, you know, it starts off easy, it starts off small, but before you know, you're weighted down. We have to prepare for this race. Take off some things and put on something. The book of Colossians have a lot about putting off and putting on. When you become a champion for the Lord, when you get in a race with God, there are things that you've got to put off and things that you've got to put on. Let us rid ourselves, one version say. Rid ourselves. Get rid of everything that gets in the way. Everything and anything that gets in the way, get rid of it. And one version say, and the sin that holds us so tightly. Don't want to let you go. So this is a spiritual race. Number one. Number two, then, we must prepare for the race. We must prepare for the race. You got to prepare. And how do we prepare? You get seriously involved in Bible study, Bible reading, Bible study, and prayer. In a recent sermon, I told you this. I open up like this. What would happen if the church get intentional about prayer and Bible study? Oh, you'll see some strange things happening. If the church of Jesus Christ get intentional about prayer and Bible study. And the Holy Spirit. That's another one we lack on. We forget he is our helper. He's our leader. He's our guide. He's in the world convicting the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. He seals us for Almighty God. And thirdly, we must run the race with patience. We've got to run this race with patience, with endurance. The different versions use words that you would appreciate even more. Run this race with patience, with endurance. There are going to be situations that's going to discourage you. You've seen that happen. There was a gentleman that preached in the Church of God of Prophecy. Oh, he was a shouting preacher. I mean, he was shouting dance all over the place, in the spirit, he says. And something happened in his family. I can't remember whether it was with his marriage or not, but I'm playing the drums in the Blue Mountain Club one night, and I see this brother dancing, not to praise the Lord, but to the calypso music we were playing, dancing after having a few drinks. And I was shocked to death. I said, this can't be. I must be dreaming. But later on, found out that the brother backslid. Everyone was talking about it the next day. But he's not the only one. I'm very sad. I'm very sad to tell you that the preacher who led me to the Lord, I pray that his soul is resting with the Lord. But later on down the road, he got involved with a young lady that I taught in school, so she was very young. Some of my preacher buddies, you know, when we went to go to the convention with Gail, they say, here comes Garvey and his child bride. Well, this she was really a child bride, this girl. I taught her in school in the fourth grade in the Bahamas when I was teaching for Bahamas government. But he ended up in an affair with her. Started drinking again. Was drunk one night, came home. His godson drove the station wagon owned by the church, and he said, now go to bed because you're drunk, you can't drive. I got your key. And he left, and his wife, who lived in the parsonage right next door, said she heard him say, yeah, you think I got an extra key in here? He still went out, jumped in the car, went down the street, ran into the seawall, which threw him, and he was instantly killed. My brother Sidney was in the nightclub. The van went into the seawall right in front of the nightclub, and my brother Sidney went out, was the first one to go. He said he saw the blood stained from his fingers where he tried to hold on, but he was dead instantly. Many have started the race and have not finished. Many have turned back, like the race I dropped out on. Many have gone back. I hope you will not be in that number. You are to determine in your heart, if you haven't yet, to let no one or nothing lay aside every weight, everything. So in the Christian life, we are in the race. When you know, if you're saved, I don't care how you feel this morning, I'm telling you, you're in the race. And not me, not Garvey, but the Bible is telling you that we are in the race if you are a Christian, if you're a child of God. From the moment you accept him until you die, you are in the race. We are in the race. Paul tells us, in fact, he told Timothy, this young preacher, he said, I want you, son, listen. He said, I want you to preach the word. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, because the time is coming, and man will not endure sound. But listen to what he said, the time of mighty departure is on. But listen to what he said. I have finished the race. I fought a good fight, Paul said, and I have finished the race. I pray that one day you'll be able, you and me, to repeat those same words. I have finished the race. My last point is this. No Christian can run this race with endurance on your own strength. You cannot run this race on your own strength. You might think you're bad. And for a while there, everything might go well with your marriage, with your children, with your job, everything. You're kicking high. Nothing to worry about. Looking at others and shaking your head, others who are going through problems, divorce and remarriage and all kinds of stuff, and you're saying, But just wait a while. Because Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation. Definition is what? Disappointments, discouragement, circumstances. In this life, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. If you have your mind on Jesus, if you have your heart on Jesus, if you're anchored in Jesus, then you can smile at the rage of the storm. I love to go to those old prayer meetings when I was home, and you hear them, some of them song to sing talking about Jesus. Let Jesus fix it for you, because he knows just what to do. And whenever you pray, just let him have his way. Let Jesus fix it for you. That's who you got to keep your eyes on. How are we going to run this race? How are we going to finish? Not in your own strength, not in your own power. With the little prayer you pray on Sunday morning, or the little Bible reading you pray when you come to church on Sunday morning. But you're going to have to depend on Jesus for strength to run this race. So what will be the key to your endurance? What will be the key to your endurance? Some think it's going to be Red Bull. Not going to help you in this spiritual race. Some think it's going to be steroids. It's not going to help you in this race. Something is going to be cocaine and some of the other, Mrs. Marijuana, and some of the other groups have suffered there. Something that these things are going to keep you going, but you're not going, because they lift you up for 1 minute, and before you know it, you're right back on it. They let you fall hard. I never tried none of them. I drank a little bit when I was in the club, but I know how when I got drunk that next day, I felt like a dog. Throwing up all over the place, and I promised myself on there, and I didn't since then. These things are not going to get you. They are not going to give you the strength. And that's why the writer says what? Lay aside every weight and every burden, and the sin that so easily beset you. Then he gets on like this. He ended like this. Looking unto Jesus, with your dependence on Jesus, with your faith and your trust in Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your race. He is going to be there. I remember the night. I'm walking in my front room. Charlene was like my bodyguard. Here's the girl, she's what, 9, 10. I would come home and sit on the couch, watching the TV. I would just sit down there until 2, 3 o'clock sometime in the morning. I'd wake up Charlene and say, Charlene, go to your bed. It's late, go. She said, get some sleep, Daddy. Sometimes she said that in her sleep. She'd be sleeping, she said, get some sleep, Daddy. And one night I felt like it didn't make any sense anymore to go on like this. I might as well just finish it all. I had those thoughts. You can come to a point in your life where you will have those thoughts also. Everyone have a breaking point. Don't think you're so bad. I thought I was. And I got up and I walked to the back room and I walked back to the front room. I started pacing the floor. I look around at Keith sleeping, at the kids sleeping. I say, oh, Lord, I can't leave these kids. And as I walked back to the back room, I felt like somebody put their arms around my shoulder. I thought I heard somebody say, it's going to be all right, Sharon. It's going to be all right. And a calm came over me, and I went to bed. You're not going to finish this race on your own strength, no matter how intellectual you are, no matter how muscular you are. You're not going to finish it on your own strength. He said, looking unto Jesus, look unto Jesus, trust Jesus, the author and finisher. He will get you in. He will give you the strength when you feel like dropping out the race. He's going to come with you, and he's going to give you that extra strength to get to the finish line. Jesus is the source of our strength. Consider Christ. Hold him up as the model for your race. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus if we're going to run this race with patience and endurance. Race is on. God help us. Strengthen us to finish our race. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this morning for each one in this building. We pray your blessing upon each one, Father. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your power. We recognize this. You said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we know, we recognize, Lord, that means that when we realize that we need you in our lives, that we can't do it by ourselves. Strengthen each one. The head that's bowed down this morning because of sickness and frustration, discouragement, please lift up that head and let them know that there's hope in Christ Jesus, and guide us to the finish line in victory. We pray in Jesus' name. And will you stand, please? If you have some area in your life you might need some prayer, someone to stand with you in prayer, come down today. Maybe you have never accepted Christ, or maybe you want to rededicate your life this morning and say, God, I haven't been running well. And I want to run this race. Give me the endurance and the patience and all that is needed. Any requests you have on your heart, come down. The ministers will pray with you. A simple message, but needed for such a time as this. There's a lot of discouragement, a lot of problems going on in our marriages, in our families, with our children, in our lives, on our jobs. Our world is in frustration all around us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen.